But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Ephra Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Precious Holy Spirit, for it is in your interest, it is in your interest to furnish the life of men today, to decorate the lives of your people. Hallelujah. Please, quickly, just turn to your right, to your left, exchange pleasantries, and be gloriously seated in God's presence. Today the hand of God will be blessing us powerfully. God will be speaking to us by His power and by His Spirit. And for many of us, this is that one encounter. That one encounter that has been long awaited. Just bow your head 1 minute at your seated position and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask Him to speak to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today I want to share something very powerful with us. Something I consider the heartbeat of the kingdom. Something I consider to be the focal points of God's agenda. And I pray that as you listen, I pray that as you align your soul, God will do something you would never recover from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, I would like to share a little foundation just for us to ride along. There are several reasons postulated, different reasons put forward to explain why man. As a matter of fact, it was creatures from the immortal rank, spiritual creatures. The angels were the first clan who first questioned God as to what is man that thou art mindful of him, nor the son of man that thou visitest him. There has been an eternal question of why man. You know, the question is it like our worship is not enough for you? I mean, look at the uncountable host, the plethora of angels who are worshipping continuously, fellowshipping with reverence. Why do you have to go and make another creature? Why, man? And if we attempt to answer this question, many of you will find your place in that answer. Just in case Satan is trying, working around the clock to give you an alternative tax to grind grains for Philistines. Today God will hand over something solid to you. It will be evident as to the why. If that question is answered, your life must make sense. Why? You know, it was my small brother said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. Why man? What is the need for man? Many of us, to be honest, we just think our life is about coming to the earth, start talking about God to anybody you meet, and that is the way of fulfilling the reason why God gave us life. It goes beyond conversations and it goes beyond all kinds of attachments to different religious groups. Why man? I'll start this discourse by establishing a foundation very quickly. It will interest you to know that we are not just discussing the creation of man. We have to make reference to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. And scripture started by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can hear me, say amen. That's Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, one of the most popular and the most simple verses of the scripture. However, how simple as it appears, it contains one of the most heavy truths in the spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Don't read it like a textbook. It tells you in the arrangement of order, which one was created first. The heaven was created first. Then he says, and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and what? Come on, let's read together. God created what? So heaven came first. And when heaven came first, the creatures in heaven too was created. Because God does not just create space. He creates the inhabitants of those same space too. So this is the time where creatures like angels were created. Because in the creation account, you will not hear any detail of how angels and the spiritual host were created. And in your own mind, you believe that that is when God was forming everything. But the creation account only captured the documentation of what God did within the physical realm. Believe me, what I'm about to share with you, because it will bless your life. The creation account did not even tell you the true full story. They gave you as much as you need to know. They kept many things that they believe is not necessary, is not relevant for that dispensation. Mind you, what you are calling the beginning, they told you that in the real beginning, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, God created heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 began to show us where the drama started entering from. And don't read scripture sequentially. Sometimes we read it like a textbook. And I want to tell you the truth. These scriptures were not written in chapters and verses. They wrote it like an essay. It's for the sake of ease, of categorization. That's why theologians and those who documented it had to break it into chapters and verses. So this thing just continued. It read, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form. There's nothing like chapter 1, then verse 2. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So God created the heavens and the earth. They told us that the heavens was created. No details of how God created angels. But along the line, God decided to show us small glimpses. So he says he maketh his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. So the seraphs that operate close to him, the closer to God you are, it will affect the nature you will use. Because if you come there as flesh, no flesh can come before God. So the angels needed, and these ones that will minister before his throne, they needed to be designed. The material they used to make them was fire. Flames of fire. He maketh. Which means a man too can go from dust to fire. If God begins to invite you, if Zion begins to place a demand on your life, and that demand necessitates that you will familiarize with the throne room, they will change your nature. If not, that thing there, it can consume a man. and no flesh can glory before the Lord. So how can you minister if your nature is not compatible with the person you were coming before? So he says, he maketh. That maketh is happening inside your life. Whether they gave birth to you as dust, notwithstanding, within time, you can become a flame of fire. And something happened. Something happened when the narrative started that God created the heaven and the earth. They didn't tell you something, but what happened was the reason why the earth became without form and void. Mind you, when they were saying the earth was without form and void, God has not created man yet. So you cannot blame man for what happened. If you can hear me, say amen. Whatever happened that made that this other part has it has experienced all kinds of alteration, and scripture says all the foundations are out of course. A military coup was planned in heaven. A high-ranking official had infiltrated the minds and the interests of other high-ranking luminaries. Princes in Zion has been compromised, and they needed, oh my God. It's not Adam's fault. I want to show you where the battle started from. So we must go together. Adam is the least of your problem. In fact, according to the account, Adam was only responding to the suggestion of a creature that trafficked heaven and earth and made sure. I shared with us last week that one of the agendas of princes in darkness is to put more people into a compromise that they are in, hoping that the more people are inside that compromise, maybe God's hand can be tied. Maybe God will change his mind if he finds out that all these things have been compromised. And they don't know that the great one says, though hands join hands, it will not be well with the wicked. A coup has started in the spirit realm. In the realm that they created before the earth, because they created the heavens and the earth. In the heaven, a coup has started. And many high-ranking angels have been implicated. And the challenge about what was going on was that it is one of the best and most pure angels that led the coup. And when they were going to check and observe how to exterminate the coup, they could not find anybody among the rank of the spiritual messengers who can face Satan face to face. Mind you, after many years of sending him into the earth, even Michael, the Bible said, cannot bring a railing accusation against Satan. Michael came face to face with Satan, arguing over the body of Moses. And what did he say? The Lord rebuke you. He does not have constituted power over this being. In the realm of ranking and authority, Satan is in a realm of his own. He walked, and the Bible says every tree in Eden envied him. You are the only one thinking the trees are guava and cashew trees. They said every tree envied him. All trees in Eden. And for that singular reason, something has fractured the orderliness in the celestial realm. And the Father decided. He decided that the work that has been done here, there is no creature. If you remember Revelation chapter 5, he began to speak. The apostle said he was caught up. And then he said, a voice uttered and say, who is worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof? Then he said he began to enter into a mode of depression and sorrow, because no man, please tell your neighbor, no man was found in heaven, that is starting from heaven, on earth or under the earth, nobody was found worthy. The whole agenda to create a man. I'm trying to answer why man. Man was the last card of Zion. Man was the only way to deal with this rebellion. And the rebellion started in such a way that it is one of the highest classed and highest respected angels that fell. And I give you this illustration again. Brother, please come forward. If we are trying to assess based on purity, and we say that, Kai, brother, this your white is not clean. Before you can make that statement to him, you must be able to produce the standard that you are comparing this white to. If you can hear me, say amen. If you are about to say the shade of your white is not the brightest that can be, you cannot make that statement until you can produce what you are trying to compare this thing to. Unfortunately, in Zion, in heaven, Satan was the highest ranking. So there was nobody to compare him to. There was no way to judge him. And the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. God cannot be an impartial judge. This is why both the righteous and the unrighteous get sunshine. Righteous and the unrighteous get rain. When God is dealing out his judgment, he cannot follow emotions. Spirits don't exhibit emotion. They don't take decisions based on emotions. So God cannot say, I just push him out because I was angry. The anger notwithstanding, they must find legal ground, valid reasons to judge this fallen cherub. No, another one. So they cannot say, you are wrong. If you will say you are wrong, show me who is right. And no one can be found. None right. The reason was that the angels began to agitate. That, my goodness, is this how these guys work? Has penetrated everybody. So much so that their rejoicing after Satan was casted down was the accuser of our brethren, who accused us before our God day and night, has been casted down. So Satan has something on everybody. Once you want to get up and talk, you say, be quiet. Fine. Do you remember last week? No angel was confident. And scripture says, because of the lack of confidence, there was silence in heaven. Nobody could answer that question. Who is worthy? The apostle began to cry. We are doomed. It was in that time Satan was trafficking heaven and earth anytime he liked. It was in such a time, that's when the sons of God were gathered, and Satan can come in their midst anytime he likes. The book of Job captured that. And it continued to be so. Several men have tried to scratch certain code of holiness, certain standard, and every time God sees a specimen that comes near it, God rapture them. He will not even wait. He doesn't. Death was. I'm trying to explain why people like Enoch walk with God and he was not. They did not carry Enoch just because God wants to spend time with a man. They took him to go and compare whether a man has met the standard. And all men fell short in the face of the fallen cherub. So with Enoch, nothing. Elijah, nothing. Mind you, I'm trying to show you something. Enoch, you are seeing there is a typology of Elijah, because it is the Enoch clan that will walk with God until they leave time into eternity without death. Enoch did it. He replicated the same work in the body of Elijah. You will find the tribe of Noah too. You will find a tribe that know how to use water to establish judgment. You will find that clan speaking in Moses too. That the Egyptian you see today, they will keep following you, but you will turn your back and water will be the source of judgment. You will see them no more. You can tell the familiarities of these people, of these different characters, by the pattern that is common in their lives with the patriarchs that they came after. Mind you, Noah had the anointing of a deliverer. It is Noah that became a safety. Anybody that associates, just because the children were his children, they were permitted to enter the ark. They put up a season of opportunity for everybody, and people didn't enter. And his wife, his children, and their daughters, safety. The deliverer. A judgment will come, but the judgment will come also inside the manifestation of an office called a deliverer. The deliverer will be the person, if you are able to locate and follow the counsel of such a one, you will arrive safely. You will see it in Moses. in Moses, the children of Israel were in captivity under the bondage of the slave masters of Egypt. And a man will begin to herald freedom again. And judgment became the proof of his manifestation in Egypt. There were judgments for all the Egyptian gods. All of the seven plagues were judgment against thrones in Egypt. And this is the manifestation of Noah. And Noah replicated his dimension inside Moses. Enoch replicated himself inside Elijah. These two guys I'm speaking about are what the Bible talks as the two witnesses, the two olive trees that stands before the throne of God in Revelations. These two olive trees are the two people that scriptures documented that they were caught up and they will come back again, and the beast will kill them and leave their bodies on the streets of the great city. And he says the name of that city will be Sodom, Egypt. If you can hear me, say amen. It's these two people that came to meet Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration and discussed deep matters with him. And when they were done talking, they withdrew, and Jesus was going to confront the one reason why he entered time in the first place. These two offices that almost got it right, and God took them and went to check. You tried. Kept them in a museum as a specimen that tried among several generations. But yet, they say even among these ones that were taken, none was found worthy. So when God found out that men did not have it in themselves, none, God himself decided to take the form of a man. And there was a very risky adventure there, because if God has failed any of the laws that he set, remember, scripture says he honors his word more than what? Come on, let's talk. He honors his word more than what? His word have set laid down boundaries and principles. If God came to the earth and disobeyed God's word will punish God. That's what is at stake. It's legalities, legal matters. So if God failed for the rule that he set, the legal ground will judge him. And so the fellowship of the Trinity was at stake. And if that one would have happened, that would have been worse than the rebellion, the coup that started. Because what would have been lost is the authorities. Satan will not need to ascend again. He will rule from anywhere. It becomes the reference for any man. So God stepped into time. And the whole idea, the idea of Jesus coming into the world. There have been several human beings that died before the coming of Jesus. Several people that walked, different prophets and different kinds of people who existed. And scripture told us that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, right? The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. But it will interest you to know that all the people who came inside time, everybody who came before Jesus, there was nobody that met the criteria. What was the criteria? God was looking for a house. That was all God needed from man. Make yourself a habitation for my presence. Everybody who entered, when they came, Satan did something to their appetites and gave them their own mission in life. So Jesus' watchword, his mission statement was, I must do the work of he that sent me. I must do the work. So he lived consciously in that regard. He says, I do nothing of my own. That which I see the Father doing, that I do. So God was looking for a house. God was not looking for somebody he will partner with. He's looking for a vessel he will live through. And all of these people before Jesus, you will see Moses, he will come very close. Then God will say, talk to the rock. And then out of anger. That manifestation there that you see is a departure that God is not the only power controlling this destiny. And for the fact that there can be another authority in that body, another form of directive, another power giving you instructions, that's not fit for God. And Jesus was going to be the only person that obeyed God absolutely, even unto death. The things I'm about to say, please, I crave your attention. Many of us read the account of Revelation chapter 12 and we just hear there was a war in heaven. Was the devil and his angels, Michael and his angels, they fought and there was no place found for them and they were cast into the earth. We believe that there was one time where there was just thunder happening and before you know, Satan was cast down. That event was prophesied, it was narrated in heaven, because Revelation 12 says there appeared a wonder in heaven, not on earth. And it will only be done on earth as it already is in heaven. So they showed the apostle what will happen. The blood of the Lamb. Jesus died and he was crucified and he was buried. As soon as these things happened, he went to present his blood before the eternal throne. Only then did they get the weapon necessary to check Satan out. So all this while that Satan has fallen, although he has fallen, his place was still found. Because until you are judged, until you are found wanting, you are not guilty. And the immortal throne will not use emotion and anger to dish out judgment. Judgment will be based on fair hearing. In the courts of Zion, even Satan can come and present a strong reason. That's how fair the court is. They don't pursue you because you are not with them. They want to hear whether you can win it. So God says, bring strong reasons. He trapped the souls of many men. Men who lived almost as though they touched realities in Zion. And scripture says when they die, the realms of Hades held them bound. Because somehow, maybe along their life, by one means or another, their souls were spotted by one compromise or another. So the only thing God could do for them is to find a way to categorize them and keep them together in the underworld, in a place called the bosom of Abraham. But death was still a lord over them because they were all restricted under the underworld. And Jesus was going to do a mission that was not only to bring salvation to the living, but to take the gospel to the realms of the dead. If you think the coming of Jesus and his death on the cross is to make that you will go to heaven eventually, you have missed one of the realest reasons why our Savior came. Our Savior came to make us suitable to host God. So it's not about the life after now. It's not about eternity. It's about God also stepping into time. That's why Jesus entered time. Jesus entered time so that by his substitutionary work, men can become fit hosts to carry the presence of God, because God wants to enter the earth. And mind you, there are many spirits that have entered the earth on account of the rebellion of Satan. And when they were saying, let us make man and let them have dominion. Dominion is a military word. You are talking about dominion. You are talking about there must be an enemy. So which enemy? Yet, in our account, you think nobody has been created, only man. There have been different narratives. Mind you, that the description of creation in our own account never told you how God created the land. Genesis didn't tell you where land came from. Genesis only told you that God separated the land from the water. So you didn't have all the details of how land was formed, how water too was formed. Where did the water come from that they said the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep? Your generation, your dispensation started with judgment. The same flood that covered the earth in the days of Noah, where a new breed can start with just a man and his family. That's how God too wiped the earth. And we started recording time from when water covered the earth. There was already an earth. There was already water. There was already dry land. You just started recording from, they say God separated the water from the dry land. Who were these dispensations that operated in the original time? In the time where the pre-Adamic civilizations found expressions. Who were these ones that they created us to have dominion over? Who were these ones that operated in such a way that God needed to fortify the soul of Adam and make him a theater of the divine? That's the only way he can really contend with the enemies that was in time. Who were these princes? Why did God have to design man with a military intelligence at play? Have you seen the operation of the spirit of a man before? You will know he was designed for war. Sometimes you can just be sleeping, helplessly sleeping on your bed, and your spirit will begin to discern. It's like a radar picking signals. All is not well. Have you ever woken up from sleep and the sleep cleared in your eyes immediately? You didn't need time to catch up. You knew something was wrong. It's your spirit man giving you reports about insensitivity. You were designed for war. They put a spirit that can discern the intents of men's hearts, so you can shake a man. Although the man is smiling with you, something in you can tell you is not your friend. He has not done anything wrong, yet you are not peaceful about his association. You follow that discernment and you arrive safely. They factored you for war. They gave you the ability to know more than what appears to the eyes. The Bible says we do not judge after the things which do appear, because the things which appear, they are temporal. Temporal. If you look at the design of man, you will know what they created you to fight. They made a being that has the capacity to interact with spirit realm and physical realm at the same time. It is a creature that was designed to be God's last line of defense. So he says, keep the garden. Keep is a military word. Defend your territory. We know there is a rebellion out there, but secure this ground. Have you seen a car before? An official car where they ride for official use only. That was what God designed man for. For official use only. Only him should step into man. Now spirits and demons have found ways to enter this great military tool. These weapons of mass destruction. Just enter just one lady and use her to bring a whole city down. The internet can make 5,000 guys fall for immorality just that one day. Let me tell you what that like you are seeing on your Facebook and your Instagram page means. It's a report card of the evangelism you are doing. Just in case it is a skimpy dress and a funny thing you are exhibiting there, and guys are coming to say you are hot and you have 10,000 likes. It's 10,000 people that bought your product of fornication for official use only. Now everything can use you. The spirit of lust can carry you and play his card. And God is saying, thou art my patchworks. I created you for warfare. Just in case you didn't know, he brought it plain to us. Enough of all these parables. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Where did this guy start from? Why did they design me to look small like this? Yet they are making me wrestle against a creature whose abode is not on the earth. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against wickedness in high places. Yet I'm just a little man. You are the only one looking at your frame. Your frame does not design the extent of your ability. God factored into your design long-range weapons. You can stand in this place and change things in your village by an utterance. Mighty weapons of war who have never found the script. Many of us are like scientific calculators in the hand of a market woman. You don't know you can solve very complicated equations. They are just using you to add 10 naira plus 15. And you think that is all that there is to you. There is more. You have the things you are fighting. If you see their form, if you have ever seen a demonic form, you will know, why did God think I can fight this one? He factored into you one of the greatest weapons. And your greatest advantage is that you carry God. Just in case it has not registered what I'm trying to teach today, I'm sharing that every one of us will be temples. It's just that some of us are not for official use only. Anything can use you, but you are not the one leading yourself. We are only theaters. Spirits are using everybody. We are theaters in this game of spirits. Even the thing you choose to wear, the clothes you picked, it was influenced. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. The body has no inspiration of its own. A spirit gave you that thought. Just add this and this. You think you are the one deciding, but spirits are pulling the strings in the background. What will it take you today to consecrate? Isolate and separate. And say, Lord, you know he was going to support your position. He says, he that is in you Your strength is he that is in you. Your victory is as soon as you become a container that can host God. That is your greatest advantage. As soon as you become that one. Who is God speaking to tonight? Who is God talking to and saying, if you can consecrate a bit more, the monarch himself can dwell in you? And scripture speaking, Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, it says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is something must enter you. It is the thing that is in you. That is the hope of the glory. Of ourselves, we are nothing. We are just helpless dust. But something happens to us inside time. We make ourselves theaters of spiritual displays. Your identity is directly linked to the spirit that possessed you. So a spirit of insanity will come upon a man, and the man will be called a madman. The man was not born mad. His name, he has a name his parents gave him, but the spirit can change your name based on the spirit that's in you. Is the spirit that gives you an identity. Just in case you didn't know what equation guarantees your place as a God. If God dwells in you, your name too will be addressed as a God. So I say unto you, ye are gods. You are God because you have become temples. You have become theater of the greatest one of all times. The God of all creation, Father of all spirits, is living inside a small body like me. When I opened my eyes, I woke up not because there was no warfare at night. It's that he that was in me was greater. So whether I'm awake or not, you are the only one that don't know what spirit rates maturity with. Maturity is not when you give your life to Christ. Unfortunately, that's just a date in time. Maturity is to what extent you have permitted the monarch to live freely in you. When they find a man that God can use like an overall, he wears the man and goes anywhere he wants. That's a man's spirit sphere. Lord, I'm waiting for you, and you are opening yourself up, and spirits are looking. They know that God will never share his glory with anyone. So if lust can use you briefly, and then you now come back and say, Lord, I just want you to know I'm very sorry for the 5 minutes of misbehavior that I exhibited. Can we go back to what we were talking about the other time? You will find out that the jealousy of God will not make him share that vessel. While, can I share something with us? Let me teach us something about the character of spirits. When a spirit inhabits a body, whether it's an evil spirit, especially evil spirit, demons to be specific, the demon does not have the leverage and the right to leave that body and enter any other body to explore another adventure until it has completed its mission in this body that it's in. Let me share something with you. If you remember the case of the demoniac of Gadara, the madman who accosted Jesus while he was entering the land of the Gadarene. Scripture told us something was happening there. That demons were appealing to Jesus. Don't cast us out of our house. Jesus says, who are you? Because for the first time, he was interacting with spirits that announce and introduce themselves with a plural. We are many. What's your name? Says Legion. A spirit knows that his mission in this body has not been completed. So he says, please, do not send us out into the arid grounds. Allow us to end. Why is he telling him to allow us? Because the body that they are currently inhabiting was designed in the image of God. So, halande kapanaloska. Let me share something with us very quickly. It is not only in man that spirit partner with creature to carry out their objectives. You will find that the serpent was an innocent creature designed with so much subtlety and wisdom. And when Satan was going to look for what to partner with in the garden, he selected one of the most gifted creatures. And he entered the serpent and used serpent. So this idea of spirits using bodies is not a New Testament talk. It's an ancient plan. If you know, it was the verdict of the curse that deprived the serpent of his limbs. Because the curse says you will go on your belly. That going on your belly was already telling you that in his original state, he was not sleeping on the ground. He was once an exalted creature. But his ability to allow Satan use him as a theater was what brought the judgment on him. Just as if Satan can use you, that's what will bring judgment. You are not the one that wanted to sin. Satan put the appetite in you. But the fact you did not insist that I'm for official use only. Come on. Where are those men? Where are those ones that will vow that from now going forward, I don't care about what you did in the past, but from today, Satan will not glorify himself with my body anymore. This body will only answer present to the throne of Zion. Where are those ones? So he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That was a pregnant statement. Any spirit can come in. What did Jesus call a thief? John chapter 10 was the explanation of that. Scripture speaking, he says, anyone that does not enter through the door but climbed through another means is a thief and a robber. All kinds of spirits, using all kinds of appetites and agitations, creating all kinds of turbulence around your life. Have you observed the trend and the pattern of your temptation and your fall? Have you seen that there are sins that will only come after they have created a season of frustration around your life first? Then the temptation follows that season. They first make you feel very lonely, very moody. And that's one of the signatures of demons. They first tell you you are on your own, you are not loved, you are this, you are that. Then on the strength of this reality that has been registered, they sell a suggestion. Use your body to gratify. And this is one of the greatest affront against the throne of God. When God is looking at you, he's seeing his image and his likeness. Then they now say the image of God was caught stealing. They saw two God fighting. That God is a Yahoo boy. These are the things they want to present to the throne and say, remember, his title is the accuser of the brethren. The angels were not created in his image. No single angel was created in his image. Forget all the pictures showing you on Hollywood and all the graphic illustrations. No angel was created in his image. We are the ones. They created us so that the fellowship of the Godhead can find abode in us. They wanted to step into time. Something will happen to you today. There's a fire. I told you can start as dust. Dust you are. Yes, it's okay. But he says anybody who would want to be a minister before him, he will make them flames of fire. So you are the one to come and say, God, use me. What with you are saying, use me. The language spirits are hearing is, Lord, make me. Make me. Make me. When you become a flame of fire, no spirit born anywhere can venture to share habitation. You are a burning, moving flame. They bring anything as the temptation is coming. When it nears you, the flame burns it off. Now you know what it meant when he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It says our body is the temple of the living God. From different regions, from all kinds of lands, from Samaria to Judea and up regions, to journey to Jerusalem so that they can come and fellowship in the temple. The journey for some people took 4 days to arrive at the temple. And God says, all of this privilege, I bequeath it to the body of a man. That men will journey from regions to regions, from continent to continent, to look for me inside the body of a man. I will no longer live in temples built with bricks and clay. He says, your body is the temple of the living God. The greatest bequeath house of Zion. That when a man wants to know God, a man is looking for the hand of God, God will refer that man to go and look for a man that has trapped God enough to reveal those dimensions. Can you yield your body tonight as theaters for the divine? Can you decide to step out of your appetite, of your will, of your emotions, of your proclivities, and allow that let only the appetite of the spirit live through this body? Can you die tonight? Two lives will not live in this thing. The idea is to just become a container. Lord, I'm available absolutely for your will. Lead me anywhere you want. I will follow like a zombie. God says, you mean it? Yes. Anywhere you want. Whatsoever you want. And God says, I have found my servant. This is the person I was looking for. God just needs a man who will surrender to his will. Unfortunately, what we call surrender is not absolute. I surrender my emotion, but my finance, I still keep it. When Satan will come for you, he will come through the area of finance. The only area Satan manifests in your life are the areas you have not experienced death yet. The only area, a door for Satan is still there, are the areas you have not submitted to God. Now your pictures online is harvesting 10k likes. Your uploads is bringing 1,000. You have over 3,000 friends on Facebook, and the immortals have never liked you for once. And it's not disturbing you yet. You will soon find out that all those guys are not your friends. Your true associations are supposed to be the luminaries of Zion that you fellowship with. But for them, you never give time. Satan is walking around the clock to give strange spirits the access to your life. Lust has created a door for your life already. You already found a place. And some of us today, your one call is, Lord, I shut the door. I close all these channels where these spirits enter and use me as a theater. How can your mouth be saying, Lord, I love you, and your body is honoring the nature of a fallen nature? Is telling you that these spirits have no regard for your emotion, for your proclamation. The only thing they fear is authority. And you get authority by a nature. You come and submit and say, Lord, make me. He maketh his angels wings and his ministers flames of fire. Nobody warns people about fire. You feel the heat from a distance. You are coming near fire and you know there is something to be careful about here. Let me tell you what fire does. Anything fire cannot burn, it will change its nature. Have you seen a metal before? It's solid. Fire cannot burn it quite all right, but fire will change its state. Melt it from whatever form that came, turn it to a liquid. And if fire bleeds, it will form it into another form that it wants it to take. A herbalist can come and collide with you and turn to a pastor. Fire can change that shape. It can melt him and remake him again. What you need is fire. It's not rhema. You need fire. There are men who carried fire without education. And the whole world, it was John Wesley that says, I set myself on fire. And the whole world gathered to watch me burn. The solution was fire. It was not all this, I want to go and read one book, there is a mystery. It's not these things. Only have head knowledge, and spirits don't fear your knowledge. They fear your nature. He maketh his angels wings, and his ministers flames of fire. Can somebody lift up their voice tonight and ask for just one thing? Lord, make me. This is the only way out. Make me. He maketh. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I open the streams. Open, begin to flow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By fire, by fire. Let the streams flow, flow, flow. River, flow. I give you an identity by fire. The fire gives an identity. me in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. By fire, command you leave. Because the fire of the Lord rests upon you. Now. There are five people. There are five ladies, not people. Five ladies. I see a door in the spirit open for you, and you are walking into it. I prophesy by the fire of the Lord now. Every season of delay, things that have tarried for a long time, I declare by the fire of the spirit. Now enter. Enter by fire. Enter. 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 Maya, Maya, Maya. Roma Kabala Severania. Jesus. 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 By your mighty hand. Now upon them. Jesus. Now, thank you, Jesus. It's happening. The fire of the Spirit. There's a fire that is calling me, oh. Yeah. There's a fire that is calling me, oh. Huh. There's a garment that is calling me, oh. There's a garment that knows your name. It's a garment of praise. It is calling me, oh. There's a mountain that is calling me, oh. Yo. There's a mountain that is calling me, oh. Zion, Zion is calling people. Lord, in the midst of his people, doing mighty things. Some of you, I have not even come near you, and God is addressing your case, addressing it. I'm saying, my jealousy is towards you. I will use you. I will. This body is my body. It's for official use only. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would you choose marriage above me? Would you choose marriage above me? This is the word of the Lord for you. That lady, would you choose marriage above me? That's the only thing standing between you and your ordination now. All the training, all the fortification, God has achieved it. But now there is a season that seeks to distract you from the path ordained for you. Would you choose that above God? Or you surrender and lay down your life? Cast my crown before your royal majesty.
I am undone before royal majesty. I cast my burdens before your royal majesty. Come Sujada na kau serkinsa. Ya bone na kau. Sujada na kau serkinsa.
Such as I have, I will give to you. I declare for anything you put your hands to do, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, I declare the support of destiny helpers, the gift of men, and supernatural provision in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The things I share with you tonight are realities. The things we have seen, the things we have heard, the things our hands have handled of the word of truth is these things we commit to you. For everybody here who is being challenged by one altar, one challenge from the background or another, issues that were done by people you don't have any issue with, any time to represent your interest, yet you are suffering for the activities and the agenda of other men, I declare now by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the shout of Jesus as you answer amen, I declare, may every yoke of causes of delay of all kinds of ancestral limitation be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. If there is anybody here challenged by witches and wizards, limited by the machinations of occult, I declare now, by the sovereign power of the Lord, let all power be subjected to higher powers. I declare now, let their power over your life, over your destiny, over the life of your family, of your loved ones, be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody here that the thief has visited, things has been stolen from you, things and seasons and virtues and heritage has been stolen from you. The Bible says when the thief is caught, he is made to return sevenfold of that which was stolen. I declare by the power of Adonai, every thief that has stolen things from your life, stolen things from your destiny, I declare now, they return it by fire in the name of Jesus Christ. By these words, we have called the dead back to living. By these words, we have told sickness to leave the bodies of people and they obeyed. By the same words today, I declare over your body, any sickness, any spirit of death hovering over you or any member of your family, I use you as a point of contact and I reach out to everybody you are connected to. I prophesy by the hand of the Lord. Death be rebuked in the name of Jesus. I command your bodies. I command your bodies. It's a temple for the living God. So therefore I challenge sicknesses and diseases. You have no place in God's people's body. So I declare all infirmities, all sicknesses, leave their bodies now in the name of Jesus Christ. God has done it. God has done it. Such an amazing experience. Celebrate Jesus, somebody.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazo.